Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into the On Enquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Derek Piper live at State Farm Center, where Illinois just crushed Arkansas State 92-53. What do you know? You add Andre Crabell and Trent Frazier to the mix, and this is much better, more aesthetically pleasing basketball. Andre Crabell in the first couple minutes, some highlight reel dishes to Coleman Hawkins and to Omar Payne. And then Trent Frazier just put on a defensive clinic, as he is wont to do. And Coleman Hawkins, Jacob Grandison, and the crew continue to play really, really well. But this was just a rout, Derek, and it looked like the number 11 team in the country, and oh, there's the All-American center still sitting on the bench. So this felt pretty good, I would imagine, for Illini fans and for that Illinois team.
It had to in a game where you thought you could get challenged a little bit. And I'll even admit, I had a humble brag after game one. And this one, Samsonite, I was way off. I did not see that one coming in terms of a near 40-point blasting.
Your record is still way better than my football record. So I'm about to George Costanza my football stuff and just go when I'm with the opposite of what I'm thinking.
Fair enough. But, yeah, I mean, you insert those guys in the mix in the backcourt, and you see obviously the value that they both have. And really – early on in the game, it plays out on both ends where Curbelo is just throwing guys open like a high-level quarterback, and he just makes the game so much easier for each guy in that role. Like Hawkins on the fast break is running the floor, and anybody else playing point guard may not see him, you know, all the way down the court to throw that on-point lob for a dunk. And Omar Payne gets a slam because they try to cheat off a little bit and stop him from getting the lane because he's so darn fast. But you do that, and that's an easy dump off to the big man and a dunk. And then
a dump off behind his head.
Oh, right, yeah, which is just the style points are awesome. And at the other end with Trent, I mean, Desi Sills, you talk about the fact of a lot of attention on him being an Arkansas transfer, someone that played significant minutes on an Elite Eight team. And Trent just completely shut the water off, as they like to say, with him. And I mean, Brad said he steals guys' souls in terms of, that's what it feels like. Like, man,
Trent. Trying to be a Mortal Kombat, right? Your soul is mine.
Yeah, that's what's going on with Trent. So both those guys, a lot of credit to them. Coleman Hawkins just is all over the floor and just continues to play with such activity and confidence. And you just go on down the list, and I know that maybe a guy or two that you're still hoping to get a little bit more out of, Omar Payne being one of those guys. But for the most part, you just got such great contributions from each player, and they were so intense on the glass, defensively just overwhelmed Arkansas State. And there was a little bit of a moment there in mid-first half, right before the technicals, where it was getting a little close and thought it might be a battle. But after that, they just completely pressed the gas, and it was all dust from there.
Yeah, I want to bring up that part of it, but the technical part of it, because it got interesting, and then Andre Crabello just added some fuel to that fire after the post game and actually talked about what was happening on that bench. So we'll get to that here in a second. But Brad Underwood has to be so happy, Derek, about his defense the last two games. He was talking about in the preseason, like, we have to be tougher. We will defend at some point. He talked about that, and it seems to have gotten through. I think the first game, as he said, this team knew it had to defend to win that game without, you know, three best offensive players, Curbelo, Frazier, and Kofi Coburn. Now Coleman Hawkins is definitely in that group, but, you know, three guys who were proven they had to defend, and they were tough throughout that game. Even the freshmen, I thought, really got after it. Tonight, you add Curbelo, who's just dazzling to start this game. You get up 18-4. You let up a little bit defensively as they went on a run, but then the rest of the game, Derek, it was just a clinic. And no matter who you're playing, you played two Division I teams, you've had 100 points in those two games combined. That's a good sign early on that they're locked in. Now, they go to Marquette, they're going to make some of those shots that Arkansas State didn't. They're going to make some of the buckets around the hoop. They're going to be tougher to defend. And the same thing when you go out to Kansas City. But I think that's probably where Brad Underwood is most encouraged after these first two games.
Don't look now, but on KenPom, you're number one in the country in defensive efficiency. Now, a decent amount of that is based on projection and just where they started. I think they started number two going into the season, but obviously the first two showings have only upped that. So this is a team that has a lot of potential at that end, and I do think that the added length is definitely something that is certainly noticeable. And Coleman playing the four, and I mean, he's – ability to come help side and block shots is really, really impressive. Had four blocks tonight, and that's just in addition to guys on the perimeter like Trent and DeMonte, and Curbelo's got the quickness to stay in front of guys. That a lot of ability defensively, and we're not even talking about Kofi, who's a big reason why you were top 20 in the country defensive rebounding percentage, and also, you know, not allowing a high percentage of two-point field goals as well. So you're going to add him into the mix. But yeah, Brad's got to be thrilled just kind of with the effort tonight at that end, the emphasis that he's placed going into the season defensively, and knows that that's a huge key for consistency, which has been a big part of their run of success the last couple of years. When you can defend, you can win consistently night in, night out. And for them to go where they want to go, that's what it's going
to
take.
And I think Underwood, if he watches the player post game, I asked those guys, like, what do you need to bring at Marquette? And Curbelo just had defense. We know we have to win a national championship, we have to guard. And that has to sound good, especially coming from him, right? The guy who really didn't buy into that early on in his career. And then by the end of last year, looked good defensively. He looked pretty good defensively along with Trent tonight. Let's get into this. One of the most interesting parts of this game is it was 30-20, and there was chirping. And Curbelo was chirping with the Arkansas State bench. And someone, he said, was speaking Spanish to him and saying some swear words and apparently things about his mother. And he kept chirping, and they said, and the coaches even said, he's going to pass. He doesn't shoot. He can't shoot, something like that. And Curbelo finally made a layup, blows a kiss, gets a technical. Brad Underwood then goes after their bench, the Arkansas State bench, says he's sticking up for his guy. He did take Curbelo off the court and kind of punished him for the rest of the half, sitting him. But that was really interesting. And then from that point, okay, Arkansas State made four free throws in a row. Illinois cruised the rest of the game, Derek. It was 30-24 at that point. They blew it open after that. So whether that was Brad Underwood planned or not, his team just went off after that. So they, emotionally, they were just locked in.
Yeah, it was a challenge, and the team rose up and obviously rallied at that point in time. And Curbelo is definitely, I mean, he has the flair, he has the confidence on the court. And I mean, he's not afraid to talk some trash and to chirp back. And there was, it was noticeable that there was some back and forth there. And he said, all right, he's not a scorer. And he said, all right, I guess it's time for me to score. He goes to the rim. He did miss two free throws on getting fouled. But yeah, the blow kiss. And Underwood was upset at the refs because he'd even mentioned earlier on, pointed out that, hey, their coach, their assistant is chirping at our guys, and you guys got to get that under control. And they never said anything to that bench or made that stop. So he was upset about that, upset about maybe not giving a double tech in that sense. But, yeah, from that point forward, it really just ignited Illinois. And, I mean, a team that, whether it's been with Michigan, with Iowa, some of these spats, this extra fuel has been something that they've certainly shown that they can utilize and channel in the right way.
Yeah, I just thought 18-2 the rest of the half. Illinois had the advantage there. So they don't mind being hated. Like they've talked about that. And they get under opponent's skin. And when other people try to get under their skin, they seem to do a pretty good job of just kind of reacting well to it and responding. So I don't know why, as Curbelo said, why poke the bear? I don't know why you do that with one Andre Curbelo on the court tonight. I do want to get to a couple other things here. We got to mention Jacob Grandison, man. Like, he is playing really good basketball. He's got 35 points in the first two games of the season. Ridiculous efficiency doing it. Really active on the glass. 6 rebounds tonight. I feel like we overlook him in the media. Sometimes fans obviously do because, I mean, you got Andre Curbelo, you got Kofi Coburn, and you have Trent Frazier and DeMonte Williams, these super seniors who kind of built this thing. And then you have a breakout guy in Coleman Hawkins that's so exciting. But Jacob Grandison just does his job well, it seems like, every night, Derek.
23, 24 year old guy that's just super experienced and seasoned, and someone that definitely buys into the culture, and has shown that he's not an ego guy. He doesn't need to take, you know, 8-10 shots in a game to feel like he's impacting or that he's being involved. And someone that's definitely, you know, eager to go to the glass and likes to make a pass. You know, I think his vision is really good. I know you tweeted this out, and we should talk about it. Like, there's a lot of good passers on this team. Yeah. Grandison's definitely one of those, and has shown some, like, off the dribble pull up game, or just doing more offensively. Where last year it was mostly just kicking out to three, and I mean, he was a very efficient spot up shooter, shot 40%+ from three. But if he can add a little bit more, and he's showing that. I know that Brad has talked about expanding his game. I think part of what he's discussing is just that. Okay, if they're going to close out hard, he can put it on the deck and either make a pass or shoot that jump shot. So we've seen some of that early. And, I mean, he doesn't get the love that he deserves, but that's part of what some really, really good teams have. They have their stars, but then they have the Damonte Williams, the Jacob Grandison, and that's a huge, huge bonus.
He's the kind of guy that hits a big shot in some Big Ten game, and somebody's like, who? I guess the opposing fans would be like, that guy beat us? And he is so efficient. I know it's two lower-level opponents, but 63% shooting, 3 of 7 from 3, and the guy doesn't miss free throws. He's missed one free throw in his 2 years here at Illinois. He's 8 for 8 so far this season. Well, Coleman Hawkins, that was the one issue tonight. He was 7 for 13. He mentioned it in the postgame. But Coleman, man, 15 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, 5 blocks, 5 steals through 2 games, 7 assists. He does have 7 turnovers, so the turnovers have been a little bit high. He's one of those great passers. He's doing a little bit of everything, Derek. And you got to be so pumped for him. It's 2 nights in a row where he's set career highs in points, rebounds, assists. He's tied his career high for blocks, or set his career high for blocks tonight. I can't wait to see him in the next couple games. I'm really interested to see how does this carry over. Is he this impactful when you're playing Marquette, when you're playing, Arkansas, potentially, obviously Cincinnati before that in Kansas City. But, man, you can't help but be encouraged and really excited about the possibility and everything he adds to your team. Everything you've been missing at that forward position, he's bringing it.
For a guy that played 6 minutes a game last year, it's crazy. I mean, I think you looked in the offseason and said, okay, he can shoot the three better than what he did last year, but did you expect him to be this impactful on the glass? Of course, it's teams that you've played that are still fairly undersized. Like they had a good big man in Omier, had 6'7", 235, but he fouled out and was very non-impactful. But Coleman had 5 offensive rebounds just in the first half, and that turned into multiple opportunities, whether he was going to put it back or had a nice dish to Grandison underneath. And just his energy and the fact that, I mean, with his length, it's easy. With the length and the motor and the way that he moves, it's easy to make it seem like he's all over the floor, which he actually is. Defensively blocking shots, like I said. And he is just that piece at the four that is what they've needed, what we've talked about for many years, is a stretch four and a good matchup for longer teams, bigger teams, more athletic teams. I mean, he brings all that to the table. So it is something that we're going to have to see continue to progress against higher level of competition. But in terms of confidence or just kind of his feel on the court, it couldn't be any better than what you're seeing right now.
Oh, he ain't lacking confidence. Like, at some point, Brad knows, Coleman had this one bad stretch in the game. There was just, a minute stretch where he got beat twice defensively, had a turnover. But then he had a minute where he had 2 blocks, had an unbelievable pass to Jacob Grandison for an easy 2, and then had another nice, really, if he scored on something. But, he's just playing that role extremely well, and he's got this confidence, and he brings a lot of energy to this team. And at that length and at that skill set, it can just take this team to another level.
He even had a left wing ISO. Like, he broke down his guy, got into the lane, kicked it to Jake for the corner three. Like, 6'10", 6'11", that's pretty impressive.
I mean, that stuff NBA scouts notice. It's probably premature in the offseason to talk about him as a first-round pick, but, he's got a skill set that is going to really intrigue the NBA if he continues to do this kind of stuff against a higher level competition. One of the best stats from him tonight, 10 fouls drawn. And some of that is effort on the glass, right? A lot of effort on the glass and then just creating some offense. Like, he can get to the free throw line, and that's why he can't shoot 10 to 17 from free throws like he has so far this year. And, you know, Benjamin Bosman's Verdonk has brought down their field free throw percentage. Curbelo, 2 for 4. He's had some ruts sometimes, the free throw. So they got to be better at that. They're 63% so far this season. But I would expect Coleman Hawkins to be better because he's a pretty good shooter. So I would expect that to go up. Let's bring up Omar Payne if we want to go some question marks. On the 4 for 7 minutes tonight because he couldn't not foul. Too quick, I think. He had all defensive fouls, I believe it was, and just not very good fouls for Omar Payne. It's just he's not able to stay on the court right now. Not rebounding very much, but even he can get some blocks there. He can get some easy dunks off of Curbelo, but just haven't seen much from him so far.
You haven't, yeah. He had an early stretch there where he forced a turnover where Omir dribbled it out of bounds because he held his position and then got a dunk. But after that, it was fouls, like you said. It was Bossman that had a couple of illegal screens. Yeah. It was Omar that was fouling at the defensive end. And just to look on the box score and see such a low number in the rebounding category each and every night for him, I know he's not getting the minutes to maybe get more opportunity for that, but – I mean, even against Jackson State, what did he play? 17 minutes, had 3 rebounds, and tonight he played 7 and only had 1. When you look down the line, and Luke Goody had 5 times as many rebounds as Omar did, and we talked about it, the fact of we were sitting here after another game saying Bossman played more than him, Bossman was more impactful. That would be concerning. I mean, there's something to be said for Bossman providing something, but right now for Omar, for a guy that's – this is his third year at the high major level, it's not there yet. I mean – I'd ask you, at what point would you be overly concerned? I mean, it is still early, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned because it doesn't seem like a talent thing. It's clearly not a talent thing because there are flashes, Derek, where it's like, you have to, like... Bossman's Verdonk, let's bring it up, okay? 8 points, 10 rebounds. This kid is making the most of his time, and what you like about him is you can just count on him to be in the right spot and to do the right thing. He's 6'8", 240. He doesn't have a 7'6" wingspan. He doesn't leap through a gym, right? Like, he can't dunk like Omar Payne. So when he gets the ball in the post against high major opponents, Bossman's Verdonk's going to struggle to finish. Omar Payne can just get off the floor and dunk it before somebody else even jumps. So you need him at some point to break through, because as much as this is great with Bossman's Verdonk averaging, I'm looking up his stats right now in the season, he's averaging 10 rebounds per game with how many points? I can't find
6.5.
6.5 points per game and 10 rebounds. All right, that's awesome. Like, how cool is it to see this kid doing this? I don't expect him to continue to do that. Like, if I want to play Bossman's Verdonk for 5 minutes or 10 minutes against a big physical team like Purdue, sure. I think you can handle that, knowing he can give me rebounds, he can give me solid defense, and hopefully he doesn't set illegal screens. Omar Payne is a different level of ceiling that I think this team needs. So, I don't know, level of concern, 1 to 10. I wouldn't be at like an 8 yet, but I'd be 5.
Yeah.
I'd be 5 just because it's like he's had an off season with this group, and you know Brad wants reliability, good defense. Fouling 5 times on defense in 7 minutes is not good defense.
It's not. No, definitely not. You do get still 2 months until the back-to-back against Purdue and Michigan, so if there's some time there for him to figure it out. And, you know, if Kofi wasn't here, obviously the concern would be at an 8 probably, yeah. Maybe a little bit, you know, in that range. But it's something you're just going to want to see more from him. And, you know, as Bossman, like you said, against legit length that Marquette's going to have, or, you know, athleticism that Arkansas is probably likely going to have, is he going to be able to do some of these things? But the thing with Bossman is, I said it last time, and the same thing, like, he is going to the paint on a rebound to hit somebody. Yes. and to be physical, show his frame and pull in a board, and
he knows who he is now.
Yeah,
right,
he does.
Yeah.
And Omar is just kind of, sometimes he's just kind of out there,
he's floating. Yeah. He floats a little bit, and I think when Brad talks about the toughness, I think he was speaking partly to Omar, right? And that's where Omar and Alfonso Plummer got to get used to this. It's a different team. They need them to play different roles. Let's bring up Alfonso Plummer, 3 of 10 tonight, 2 of 7 from 3. I'm not concerned about him as a shooter. I tweeted it during the game, and I told you, Derek, I go, even when he misses, his shots look good, because it's not like they clank off anything. They kind of roll around the rim and come out, right? Like, it's like, oh, that was so close to going in. He had 2 turnovers tonight. He's not a guy I want putting it on the floor and and trying to create for others. I know he had 4 assists last game, but I just don't think that's his game. He's get in the corner, get at the top of the key, come off a screen. I'd like him. I kind of want him to run more actions for him, just to get him going a little bit. He will have a breakout game where he's going to score 12 to 15 points, hit 4 or 5 threes, and really be a boost for them. So, I mean, 8 points for Alphonso Plummer off the bench, you'll take it. You want him to be a little bit more efficient. Defensively is where he's going to struggle, and I think we knew that. And Brad Underwood got on him tonight about some defensive things tonight. He's just late on a lot of things. He's got to stay locked in there, because to stay on the court with Trent Frazier, Andre Curbelo, Damonte Williams, you're going to have to play some defense. Like, he's going to play because he can score, but he's got to focus a little bit more on that end as well.
Yeah, there's still 1, 2, 3 times each game, it seems like, you can hear Brad like mumbling or not so mumbling about Plummer's defense and giving up a basket or getting beat on a blow by. And then I think offensively, like you said, there's not much of a concern. And while there was moments tonight where Trent's in the corner for a wide open three, where Grandison's doing the same thing, if that's Plummer, he's going to hit those shots. He's going to have plenty of those opportunities throughout the season. And last year he was 95th, 96th percentile catch and shoot. Like, that's his game. And I agree. Like, we talked about that a little bit early on with Adam Miller, like, wanting to run some things for him. And I think they do have that in their arsenal, and they will get to that at some point. I'm not worried about offensively. Defensively, he's going to have to be a little bit more trustworthy.
I think he's probably going to end up a 6 to 9 point a game guy, right? Like, I mean, Miller was most nights. It's like, he's not going to get in the double digits because you have all these other guys. And now Coleman being a scorer, Grandison is so efficient. They just need him to have a couple possessions where, you know, he's really good offensively. But to do that, he's got to, you know, be more solid defensively. I don't know if he'll ever be great on that end. Let's talk about the freshman. I think we're seeing the same things. It's kind of nice to see some consistency early on, including these exhibition games where Luke Goody, man, like, he just gets it. He just gets it. 4 points tonight, 5 rebounds. I think both of his he had 2 free throws and then had a putback, I believe it was. But 5 rebounds, 3 on the offensive end. Like, Brad Underwood is just saying he's going to have Luke Goody's freshman highlight reel at some point for every freshman wing who comes in and says, this is how you get on the court. You play solid defense. He forced a turnover on a out-of-bounds play because he had a good closeout. He takes smart shots. He doesn't try to do too much. And then RJ Melendez, man, there's things that he does skill-wise and length-wise that really get you excited. Like, he had a highlight dunk in transition. Brandon Podziemski did a nice dump-off pass to him. But there was a pass he made on the interior that was really good. And then he one-on-one created some offense and finished around the rim. And he's been a little bit better defensively in the early going than I thought he would be. So I think there's been really good signs from both those guys. I think Goody's the guy who's going to play. RJ Melendez, though, can get some minutes at some point this year just because he's different than everybody.
Right, and with Goody from an intangible standpoint and just the trust in the coach already so early, it's similar to Damonte when Damonte was a freshman. Of course, more advanced as a shot maker, and there's more length to him as well. But certainly in terms of, like, Brad's trust in him, throwing him out there. And like you said with RJ, I think Goody's been a little bit better defensively. He's going to get tested more as you go forward, but there have been some moments where he's closed out well or just been in the right position. That's kind of the thing with him, is just instinct-wise, he knows where to be. He knows when to go to the glass, and he's playing with a lot of effort. And RJ, I mentioned after, you know, last game, it kind of reminds me of Coleman as a freshman, like, yeah, just the length, the physical tools, and if he gets stronger, it's going to happen for him. And this is the value of blowing out a team like Arkansas State, of getting him on the floor for, you know, 7.5, 8 minutes and allowing him to have a fast break dunk that probably makes him feel good, yep, build some confidence, and just allowing him to build on that versus, you know, if you're in more of a tighter battle and not allowing him to do that.
Yeah, I just think it's been encouraging to see what those guys are doing. All right, Derek. There was a big recruiting thing happening here at the State Farm Center tonight. So let's take a quick break. We come back, let's chat about that, because it seems like it's a pretty big deal. That's next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen,
Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
All right, Derek, we learned about halftime that a big-time visitor was here at the State Farm Center. Illinois has two guys committed in the class of 2022, or signed now, Jaden Epps and Sincere Harris. And the one guy we think could still sign potentially in the next couple of days before the early signing period is done is Ty Rogers. And lo and behold, he's front row tonight, 4-star wing, top 60 prospect. Ty Streets, the Mean Streets head coach, Thornton head coach, his coach for both the AAU programs and now his high school coach, is there with him. This seems like a pretty good sign here on November 12th, before the November 17th end of the early signing period.
Pretty encouraging when it's signing week and you have that guy in the building. I would think that's a pretty good sign. And there was some angst the fact that he went back to East Lansing here a couple of weeks ago to visit for the MSU-Michigan football game. And it had been, 2 months since he had taken his official in Champaign, and that was he had visited East Lansing since then and then went back for an unofficial. So you wondered if that was a telltale sign about maybe where things were trending late. But it sounded like, as we've talked about, Illinois' confidence is still pretty high in that. And then to get him in the building is pretty important, certainly, and to have him see that. And I know that he was in the locker room at halftime and after the game as well, and being around the team, that's certainly good. I mean, I don't know that the fax machine maybe didn't work at Thornton. He had to hand deliver it, but I'm not saying that's happening. But it is interesting. And I talked to Ty Streets. Ty Rogers, a guy that's very low-key with his recruitment, doesn't like doing interviews. And I'll have that update online on Inquirer. I'm not going to share everything. There, but the timeline is still to be determined. I'll say that. And Ty just was very excited to be and talking to him about Tim, like excited to see Tim at this spot at Illinois and happy for him. And said he's like, I haven't been in this building in a long time. And I asked him since when. He said probably since I was bringing Kendrick Nunn down here.
Wow.
So it's been a long time, certainly. And Ty Rogers, to be able to get him out of Michigan, and obviously it's clear that Michigan State wants him, what that would mean, and then his fit. You and I, before we hit record on this, can you think about in the future him and Coleman Hawkins, just the versatility of the length and the skill at the forward positions would be pretty exciting.
And you think about how he complements RJ Melendez and Luke Goody, right? Like, Luke Goody's doing dirty things now, and it's great, but, like, Ty Rogers is a better athlete, bigger, can be even more physical. Melendez, long athlete. You think about having 3 6-foot-7 wings like that, along with the guards you're going to have. Carmelo, I don't know if he'll be here another year, but if he is, him, Jaden Epps, and Sincere Harris. Obviously, the big man is a question mark, but, man, you just – so many different pieces, Derek, that – I like, and Brad always says that, I want different guys. I don't want the same pieces and all these versatile different pieces. I mean, Brandon Ponjimski is different than all the guards I just mentioned. So I just think they're doing a really good job of roster construction. If you can add Ty Rogers, you'd all of a sudden vault from number 38 in the country in the recruiting class to number 17 in the country, from number 8, I think, in the Big Ten, 9 in the Big Ten, to number 5 in the Big Ten. So that's before even the spring. So that would be, that'd be a huge addition if they can close this out. Of course, Michigan State, he's got ties in Michigan, grew up there. Pretty dang good program there as well, but Illinois has been better here recently. So they definitely have that to sell, and now playing in-state here for Ty Streets, who is so close to Tim Anderson. And that's a good thing to have that Mean Streets connection, because correct me if I'm wrong, Derek, but that's where all these St. Rita kids are playing. And
yes,
you got Merez Johnson already. James Brown would be another heck of a get in the class of 2024. Like, Mean Streets is a very strong program right now.
It'd be great to catch the momentum in terms of that program and get on a nice run there. And yeah, thinking back to July, even in, as you're down the home stretch of the AAU period, and you hear some talks about certain players as you're, out with coaches, and it was like, Ty Rogers is as high on Brad's list in terms of want as he possibly could. But
why is that, by the way?
It's because of his – I mean, he's a tough sucker. Like, he is tough as heck, super versatile. But he is – they think is one of the best two-way players, and that's the thing that really stands out to them. One of the best two-way players in the class because he's super long, and he's very physical, just willing to do anything in terms of rebounding, you know, physicality inside. But he also has more offensively. Like, he played a role spot on Mean Streets because he's playing with Jalen Washington and A.J. Casey and Cam Kraft, who was a flat-out bucket getter. Offensively, he can – I mean, the three-point shot is maybe the one thing that he needs to improve, but he can do some things off the dribble. I mean, when you have a crazy long wingspan, when you're 6 foot six, 6 foot seven, that's something that you definitely value. But the talk was, you know, Brad loves him, but probably going to Michigan or Michigan State. And at that time, Tim wasn't, I think, official. And they were even like, you know, when there was talk about Tim maybe coming on, it's like, I don't know, it might be too late. Well, if Tim can make up that ground and Illinois can make up that ground, like, that would be saying a heck of a lot for, again, a guy that Michigan State desperately wants, and pair him with Epps and Sincere Harrison, that'd be a hell of a trio.
Yeah, and you're talking about, hey, you got to keep pace atop the Big Ten. Michigan keeps loading up. Ohio State's recruiting really, really well, and Indiana is recruiting really, really well under Mike Woodson so far having a good staff there. So that'd be big. I don't think we've asked you on the podcast, Eric, about Merez Johnson quite yet. This is weird. Like, you were still almost in high school the last time. You might have been when Illinois got a sophomore in high school to commit. That was Tracy Abrams. Just kind of took me by surprise when you had somebody that young so early in this process commit. But it's also a very, very encouraging sign for Illinois basketball to get somebody who's that highly thought of, that has such a high ceiling at a position that is very difficult to get, right? That four position, pretty encouraging for Illinois.
Yeah, Tracy was as old as some of the guys covering the team when he was 6 year senior, whatever it might have been. But yeah, certainly something in recruiting, as we follow it very closely, that doesn't happen nearly as often as it used to. You know, back in the Bruce Weber era, and Jeremy Richmond was another one, that freshman in high school.
Yeah, he's the third class of 2024 kid to commit. There's only three in our database at 24/7. One to Ohio State, by the way, and now one to Illinois.
Yeah, and I wrote about it earlier in the fall, and we've talked about it, just taking advantage of the opportunity that the program has to sell itself with the wins they had last year, with Iowa in the NBA, with the team that they're projected to have this year. And to credit this staff, like, this was as impressive of a run of visits, I think, this fall as they've had. In particular, guys with in-state ties, whether it's guys like Merez Johnson, James Brown, J.J. Taylor, who was in the state at the time, or guys that had already left with, you know, Kylan Boswell and Jeremy Fears, and they got all those guys on campus this fall, and there was hope that they could make something happen, or, you know, get some momentum going off of that, and it wouldn't just be, well, we'll see you in the spring when you're out on the circuit. So to get Merez, who's really tight with James Brown left the McIrvin Fire to go play with Mean Streets, you know, here going forward, so that he can play with his teammate year round, and that says a lot for when those two guys are the top two sophomores in the class. And no, just Andrusitis from Lamont is probably maybe even number three, and another Mean Streets guy that's a wing that people are excited about coming up here. So that means a lot. And, I mean, you went and saw Merez, or at least you talked to him in person. I mean, looks the part. I saw him with Mean Streets some this summer, and he's just very athletic. Maybe he needs to continue to add skill, which and talking to his coach, you know, starting to shoot the three some, starting to put the ball on the floor more. But just – activity around the basket, you know, can finish above the rim, looks the part, and I know he's young, but a lot to like about his upside.
Yeah, 6'8", 7'2", wingspan. I believe Roshan Russell is a St. Rita coach, told me. And the skill thing, I'm not as concerned about at this point. It seems like he's developing that. It's not like it's bad at this point, but the one thing I love hearing about him, and the one thing I would understand Brad Underwood loves, is he's got motor. Like, he plays with some physicality, plays with some toughness. And especially for big men, front court players, I think that is so important. Because if you do that stuff on top of the skill and the top of your length and athleticism, like, that can be a difference of how good you can be.
Yeah, and there's some guys who think that as he progresses and as he does add to that game with the motor, with the physicality, which is kind of the natural gifts that he has, that he has a chance to challenge for, you know, top 25 spot, maybe even a five-star ranking. He's going to have to earn that. But, yeah, I mean, he physically is really impressive. He plays super hard. And, I mean, I know I mentioned some things he can add to his game. He's played 1 year of high school basketball. He's about to play three more years. He's got some time here. And, I mean, hey, if in the meantime he can progress his game and also go out on the trail for you and yep. put some words in people's ear about Illinois, I mean, that's all the better.
Yeah, and Roshan told Merez, like, you could get the blue bloods of the world. Like, Baylor was calling about him. Some other obviously big time programs are starting to talk to St. Rita about their guys, and he decided, I don't need that. I got to Illinois, and they mentioned Io DeSumo helps. It doesn't make the recruitment, but I mean, Io DeSumo obviously helped Illinois win, which now that makes them a little bit cooler, right? But also Io DeSumo showed that you don't have to go somewhere else. Not that he had Kansas and North Carolina pounding on his door, but he went to Illinois, became an All-American, became an NBA draft pick, and now he's hitting threes at Golden State tonight for the Chicago Bulls, like in a rookie season as a second-round pick. So that development part, I think, is really helping Illinois sell this, because Curbelo looks like he can be a draft pick. We know they've developed Kofi more than a lot of guys ranked above him. That's a pretty good sell, especially now that you got Tim Anderson in Chicago with good connections.
Yeah, Io has a ton of respect in the city of Chicago and the basketball community, you know, even before getting drafted in the NBA, before going to the Bulls, and that just amplifies, and the fact that he's making an impact early on just completely adds to it. And yeah, I mean, the fact that he came in and wasn't some kind of surefire one and done, which I know he wasn't a one and done, but he was in that, you know, 25 to 30 range as far as a ranking, and just continued to get better, continued to add to his game, which was easy to see, not only like watching him play, but his numbers increased. And Io also has glowing reviews and isn't shy in talking about Illinois, talking about Brad Underwood. And he was on the biggest stage in college basketball. He was the Bob Cousy Award winner, first team All-American. And oh, by the way, you know, I know that there was talk about Merez and wanting his dad and his family to be able to see him play. Like, Io's family, where we're sitting right now, is just down there at, like, every game, and a chance for just the family to live that experience with Io. That's got to be something that Illinois is putting in their ear, those in the state, and I'm sure that Io and the DeSumo family are still talking about that up in Chicago.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about this too, like Aaron Jordan. I always remember his dad, rest in peace, like always here, like always, like that's got to be worth a lot to some people. So Illinois doesn't have a lot of Illinois kids. Like Joe Hendrickson wrote about this right now, but they haven't needed them because they've been so good, but obviously they've gotten some ones that made a big impact. Adam Miller, Io DeSumo, and Merez Johnson could maybe be that next one. No shot to Brandon Lieb, who actually got some solid minutes tonight. All right, we got to get out of here before midnight here at the State Farm Center. But thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. A lot of content coming up. All of my player grades later tonight. Derek Piper will have that interview with Ty Streets about Ty Rogers. We'll also have some takeaways from this game of Merez Johnson's story later this weekend as well. And Joey Wagner has a story on the basketball team thinking they're starting to become guard U, which I can't argue with. I mean, we saw two guards tonight who were pretty good for Illinois. So check out Illini Inquirer over the weekend. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a rating, review, wherever you get your podcast, give us a follow as well. But everybody, take care of each other. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.